absence is excused. Looking for approval of the minutes from the previous meeting, and that would be Monday, July 2nd.
I have one correction. It appeared that Supervisor Burt wasn't at Park present.
Burt?
Burt.
You weren't at the last meeting?
No, he was, but it wasn't Mark.
Oh, it wasn't Mark?
He wasn't on the actual minutes.
I will make a correction. Thank you.
Sure.
Any other additions, deletions, or comments to the August 2nd minutes? Seeing none, entertain a motion to approve.
Motion to approve.
It's been approved and seconded. All those in favor of approving the minutes say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Youth and Governance. Sounds unanimous from Youth and Governance. Next item will be Chairman Committee Member Supervisors, Youth and Governance comments. I have none at the current time, so I'll ask all supervisors if they have any comments. Supervisor Burke.
Just a reminder, this Sunday coming up, the 19th of September, 11 to 4 p.m., at the Moose Lodge on 30th Avenue, I'm having a Veterans Family Fair. It's free food, giveaways, bouncy house, spin art, face painting, petting zoo, and we're just trying to get younger veterans to get more involved in the community. So if you know anybody, please send them out. I have flyers in my bag if you need. Thank you.
Any other supervisors want to make a comment? Youth and Governance, any comments? Seeing none, we'll move on to item number five, which is citizens' comments. Are there any citizens here who would like to speak? You have 5 minutes to entertain us on the topic you prefer. Going once, going twice. Citizens' comments closed. Next item is the informational presentation, Pike River South Branch Rehabilitation Project. Andy Bueller, I believe you're up.
So, Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to say a little something to give a little bit of an overview of why we put this on the agenda tonight. So, in the 2022 budget, there's going to be two pretty significant initiatives that are going to be proposed. We don't have all the details worked out for either one of them. All of you are aware of the one having to do with the campus options for the Human Services campus. And I want to remind folks that there's actually a neighborhood meeting tomorrow night at 6 o'clock at the Sun Plaza, in the kids' facility at Sun Plaza. That's tomorrow night. And then the other significant, there's actually many significant things we're going to propose in the budget, but the two largest ones that warrant some additional information prior to the budget being submitted to the board, this is the second one. It's the South Branch of the Pike River. Andy has worked with internal staff as well as Dave Giordano from Rootwind Pike to put together a presentation that will hopefully provide a really good overview on some of the stuff that's taken place in that watershed, as well as some of the stuff proposed and the reasons why. With that, I'll turn it over to Andy.
All right. Thank you, Ray. So I'm Andy Bueller. If some of you don't know me, with the Director of Planning and Development. So thanks for the opportunity to be able to present this tonight's information in regards to the Pike River South Branch Rehabilitation Project, something we've been working on since 2017, and we're going to have several different people tonight coming up and presenting different portions of the presentation. You know, if there's questions, Supervisor, I guess we can take them as we go along, or we can take them afterwards. But for today on this, we'd like to focus on the South Branch and take what's a liability and make it an asset. We have amazing opportunity before us with partnering with the Army Corps of Engineers, where we're able to partner with their expertise in doing these types of projects, and you'll hear more about that from them. And with their partnership comes $10 million to be able to do a project such as this. And so some of the other things we're going to be talking about here with this presentation, we're going to talk about some of the goals of the project, talk about some about the team, the background of how we got to this point, talk about the current state of affairs with the South Branch, and also talk about future state of affairs. There's a case study that we're going to be talking about where this has already been done on the North Branch in Mount Pleasant. And then we have Army Corps here to give their perspective, and then we'll finish up with some budget information and the timeline of things to go forward. So with that, I wanted to get you orientated to the South Branch. So on this screen, you can see the North Branch, mainly in Racine County, and then the South Branch in Kenosha County that come together just north of Pets. And then it becomes the main branch that then comes to Lake Michigan. So today we're going to be talking about the South Branch. I'm sure everyone drives over bridges where it's at, but you may not necessarily notice where it is because of the current state of affairs of that, where right now it's basically a ditch to convey water, and that was done for purposes of agricultural uses, and you'll hear some of that tonight on the case with that. But so the South Branch is highlighted in purple there. So with this, we have some goals for the project. The project area is 1.5 miles. It's from Highway K up to Highway S. And that area is an area that is going to be our focus tonight of the whole main stretch of the South Branch. So with that, we have different benefits and goals that we want to try to achieve. And here you can see one of the main things is reducing flooding and stormwater issues. As you know, with Public Works, you've heard it, and we've heard it from the different departments, Public Works, Planning, Development, whenever we have these rain events and the flooding that occurs, and the infrastructure issues that we have with our roads being flooded. And so water and stormwater is always one of the main concerns that residents have. And obviously you experience that whenever you have a rain event. And our rain events these days are more flashy than what they used to be, where we had long periods of time. And so we have more occurrences of flooding type situations. And along the pipe with that, because of it being mostly a ditch, we run into many different issues with erosion. We want, through this project, we want to be able to improve the water quality of this project area, which will also help with downstream. The area would also include a multi-use trail that would give public access to this area that would be restored. In doing that, that would increase the recreational opportunities to be able to allow the public to be in this area, increase land values, and then be able to increase and create development opportunities. So for our team that we have, it's broken down into these three categories. We have Kenosha County, Planning and Development, working with Public Works and Parks and Finance and other departments. Tonight you're here from Jim Comfort from Finance. We also been partnered with Root Pike Wind. We have Dave Giordano, the Executive Director of Root Pike Wind, and we have Bill Sassi, who is a board member of Root Pike Wind, and he's a former engineer of Mount Pleasant. And then from Army Corps, we have Beth Reiner Adler. She's a planner for Army Corps. And then Sections Chief Alex Hoxie. A little bit of background is, you know, the pike is not something that we haven't looked at before. So way back in 1983, SewerPAC did a study. It was adopted by the county, very thick study. In there, they did have recommendations of being able to build flood mitigation ponds, is kind of how they were looking at it back in the 80s to deal with the flooding that occurs along the pike. But that's not exactly what we're looking at to do today. I mean, things have changed in that time period, but the problem still exists. In 2013, there was the Pike River Plan. Root Pike Wind spearheaded that. It's an EPA DNR approved plan. That plan was also adopted by the county. It has very specific recommendations of how to deal with the problems along the pike from a flooding standpoint and ecological standpoint, basically wanting to bring pike back to the pike. So with that, as we move forward with these different issues that have been presented to Planning and Development, Public Works with flooding, stormwater issues, and knowing that what was taking place north of the border in Racine County with Mount Pleasant, where they were working on doing the rehabilitation project at the North Branch, they were almost completing their full stretch, and we saw what was happening up there. So we started to think, What can we do here? Can we replicate what's happening up here down in Kenosha County to take care of these problems? Because they have the same type of problems up there. So we started talking about that in 2016, and from that, we reached out to the Army Corps to see if that was something that Army Corps we would be able to partner with. And you'll hear about that later tonight, on how that kind of came together. With that, we continued working with Army Corps, and we signed an agreement with them, and so research and study started. So over the last 3 years, we have been doing data collection from drain tile surveys and wetland determinations, structural analysis to figure out all the information about the pipe so that information can be provided to the Army Corps so they can take that into account and put a plan together. And so that's kind of where we're at right now with working with a concept plan, and you'll see that coming up on the next slide, and Dave will be the one that will be presenting that.
I love Kenosha. I'm from Kenosha, born and raised here. There's so many reasons why I love it. Great parks, got a great highway system here. Our schools are great. We're on the border of Lake Michigan, or we are on the shoreline of Lake Michigan. There's so many features here and assets of this community. I love it here, I'll never leave. I raised my kids here, and it's a fantastic place. That said, there's one place that isn't so fantastic, and that's the South Branch. It's, as Andy mentioned, it's been the recipient of a lot of bad land management practices that are legacy practices of agriculture. Now, I'm not here to bash farmers because they put food on our table, but after settlement, they looked for ways to drain what is a very wetland rich area of Kenosha County to plant crops and grow food. Fast forward to today, those same practices aren't really in alignment with water quality, ecology, and flood mitigation. So one of the main reasons is that here is a section of the South Branch right here. And you can see how close the farming occurs right up to the edge of the stream channel. SewerPAC has done a study that you get 75% reduction of sediment loading to a river if your buffer, the space between the river and the farmland, is 300 feet. So right now, I measured it the other day, it's about 30 feet. So we get all these inputs. The river is as straight as it could be, which conveys water very quickly. Great for farmers, not so great for the river channel, for water quality, for flooding. And you can see here is the natural meandering of part of the north branch, or main branch, and the south branch. Here's Hawthorne Hollow, still a wild river. Notice how straight this is. So when it rains, that water is transported through drain tiles under most of this farmland into the south branch of the Pike River, and that water is unimpeded to the next stop on the tour, which would be Hawthorne Hollow. Not only do you get that massive water, that volume and velocity, that's very flashy like Andy talked about, it's kind of all or nothing. That creates a ton of erosion. Phosphorus attaches itself to sediment, which is happens when you have erosion. Phosphorus creates a lot of excess algae. Algae chokes off oxygen. No oxygen in our rivers and lake. And then it's no wonder we don't have Pike in the Pike River anymore. So the project here essentially is taking one of the most hydric-rich soil areas in the South Branch, historical wetlands, and putting back that river channel in those wetlands in those areas. One number you should remember tonight, and that is 300,000 gallons. An acre of wetland a foot deep will hold more than 300,000 gallons of stormwater. in our project area here, we're looking at approximately 100 acres of new wetland and wet prairie. So we're utilizing...
Can you say that again, please?
So it's a Purdue study. An acre of wetland, a foot deep, can store over 300,000 gallons of stormwater. So right now, we don't have any wetlands in this area anymore that are restored. It's all farmed over. So we want to put those wetlands back. It's natural green infrastructure is what it is. Wetlands have incredible pollutant processing power. They're obviously habitat for a lot of great things, including spawning pike. But really, it starts with flood mitigation, because that number is dramatic. You're holding a lot of water and releasing that water slowly through the system versus kind of a toilet flushing, and all that water moves to the system as quick as possible. Yes, sir?
When you say restore wetlands, to the people who don't know exactly what you're referring to, what exactly does that mean?
You're putting the native vegetation essentially back, the wetland vegetation back into those areas that were historically wetland. So to give you an example, your typical Kentucky bluegrass, the root systems go maybe 5 to 6 inches deep. Wetland plants can go 8 to 10 feet deep. That allows a lot more water to infiltrate instead of be conveyed over the land.
Okay.
Does that answer
your question? Yeah.
Okay, cool. One last thing, you can see here how the project would also, here's our plan for re-meandering the river. When it hits those bends, it's slowing the water velocity down. That's the way rivers are supposed to run. In the light blue here, this is what you see now. You see a river that's no longer has those natural meanders.
So you want to take it from the light blue to the blue?
You want to take it from the light blue to the dark blue.
What's yellow?
Yellow would be the multi-purpose trail. It starts here at Highway K, goes under 158, and then over to S, and then eventually we'll connect that into some trails.
Is there now?
One other question. I'm not a fisherman. So the pike come from Lake Michigan and then spawn in the river?
Yes.
Okay.
So, and they spawn in wetlands. So bringing these natural systems back that have flood mitigation also have a lot of ecological value. Pike are the only things that swim in wetlands or live in wetlands, but that's symbolic, obviously, for Kenosha. So I'm sure you've all seen some of the issues that have occurred over the last decade with the pike, especially the South Branch, the flooding. That flooding creates a lot of erosion. Erosion is very expensive to stream systems. It's approximately $500 a linear foot to repair a stream. You also have whatever's on the land is going into the South Branch and ultimately makes its way to our beaches into Lake Michigan. In 2018, Plenoria Park Beach was on the top 10 list of most dirtiest beaches as ranked by the USA Today. That's not a list that we want to be on. Sediment, while we don't have the actual proof yet, we're working on trying to fund a study where we think a lot of the farmland that's eroding off of the South Branch is ending up near or in our harbor that we dredge at a pretty costly amount every year. And then here's a picture from the small boat harbor. This was taken a couple weeks ago. All that sediment that I talked about has all that phosphorus. Phosphorus is fuel for algae. The small boat harbor looks there.
There is a small harbor.
The Sixth Street Bridge.
It's just north of boathouse.
Yeah.
But one thing, if I could clarify, you're talking about the South Branch. You're not talking about the main branch that runs through the city.
This project is just about the South Branch.
Okay, but some of these things are specific to the main branch, correct?
They're specific to the South Branch and the main branch. Both systems have erosion.
So I'll ask my questions about when are we going to address the main branch, which allows the pike to come from Lake Michigan into the Pike River. So I'll save that for later.
Okay, that'd be a good question. here's really the whole project encapsulated into this diagram. I know it's confusing, but it's actually really pretty easy. The project starts with stormwater and flood mitigation. You've heard me talk about the storage that we put in here. When you have flood control, you have the ability to do channel modifications and do flood storage that creates wetlands. Those wetlands then create habitat for different things. They process pollutants. Now you put a trail along there where you give people access to these incredible spaces, which are going to become more and more rare in Kenosha County as the decades move on. But you also then, when this is done, and we've got a great example of it, and Bill's going to talk about it in a little bit, you create a place where people want to be, where they want to work, where they want to live, where they want to invest. This becomes an incredible backyard, whoever wants to move in along it. And there's a number of different studies that show the economic value by putting these corridors in. Here is what's going on with the floodplain. And so a lot of this is related to the floodplain because we're starting our conversation about flooding. So here's what we have now. We have a ditched river, okay? And so what the river wants to do when it floods is recreate the floodplain. So it's constantly trying to cut back these banks. This is where you get a lot of trees in the river. This is where you get the phone calls. Hey, I got trees in my river in the backyard. It's creating all this flooding. It's a terrible situation. I get calls like that as a nonprofit. People want help. What we'll do is essentially we're going to restore the natural functions of a floodplain. So that water will generally move in and out of that, what I call an expansion chamber, where it's not rushing down that channel as quickly as possible and then flooding everything else. It's going to slowly rise within this new, what is called the two-stage ditch. This is the first stage, the normal low flow, and then this is the excess capacity here when you do have a flood event. That flood fringe, places along where the floodplain ends and the rest of the land begins, we call it flood fringe because it's hard to predict exactly where flooding is going to occur every year. You're providing more protections with a system like this. How do we know it? Again, Bill's going to talk about that. It's proven up in Mount Pleasant to reduce that flooding.
So with the trail, as well, the other question.
Yeah, I don't know if we want to ask questions at the end. I know you're sitting down. So a couple of questions I had. In terms, you had mentioned 300 feet for wetlands, right? A large plank. At first, my question is, what have you heard from farmers about losing that portion? But then you showed me the project picture, and that's a lot. That looks like a lot more than 300 feet, which I'm fine with. I support this. I do support it. What have you heard about? If you've heard anything from the farmers.
We haven't heard anything from the farmers in regards to the plan. I mean, the property owners have been notified because we've had to go along there and do all this analysis and data gathering on that. But the area that would be restored would be purchased. So the area that would be have all these qualities would be purchased.
So you're saying you haven't heard anything, so they're not completely against losing some acreage because they're being paid for it.
Yeah, we're not even at that part of the stage right now. Right now we're still gathering the data, coming up with the plans, and we have to look at the next steps as we go through this process.
Okay. You had mentioned $10 million that would be coming from the federal government?
Correct.
Mark Corps of Engineers?
Correct.
Does that include purchasing of the primaries?
It does, and we'll talk about that a little bit later in the presentation. There's a slide on that. Yeah. So this part I wanted to just kind of...
Real quick.
Oh, yes.
I just want to understand which townships, villages, or municipality will be impacted by this. Do you have... Is it just Summers? Is it Summers-Bristol? Is it... Which counties are impacted by this proposal?
So...
Which townships?
So we have this section here. The first project is in the city. And then as on the other map, the future areas for whatever may occur in the future would be in the Village of Summers. You know, and then, you know, the main branch is in the city. So you go from the city to the Village of Summers, and then you go back to the city.
But I know the main branch is not part of this presentation.
Correct.
Okay, so for this presentation, which townships are impacted by this proposal?
Well, they're only the remnant of Summers, the remnant township of Summers. Otherwise, it's the Village of Summers and the city of Kenosha.
And the city is part of this then?
The city's, yes.
So to clarify, the section we're talking about between S and 60th Street is 100% in the city of Kenosha.
Correct. Okay. Yeah. Oh, you hit it. David had that. So, any other questions? Okay. So this time we wanted to show it, and the question that came up in regards to the trail, I mean, it is not there right now. So part of that is to be able to have a trail along this area so the public can be into this area that's been restored and take advantage of the great ecological aspects that come with that. But it ends up being a great connection for the county. So the county has a multi-use trail network, and there's a bike plan that was put together in 2013. And this segment along here of having a trail along the pike is actually in that plan, and it's also in the Village of Summers plan, their neighborhood plan. And that would create a north-south connection. You can see on the right side where you have the existing trails, you have the trail along Lake Michigan, you have the north part of the north-south trail, and then it goes through Pets and up into Mount Pleasant and gets into the Racine County Trail Network. And then on the way down, you have the KR Trail that was put in with the KR project as an east-west. And then you have Highway E, where there's different segments that are in place on the east side, and this would connect it on the west side there. And then farther down, the Highway S project now has a trail that's east-west. Highway K has an existing trail that ends at the railroad tracks by Indian Trail High School and then would continue west. And then along Highway 50, there are bike lanes that are going to be installed with the Highway 50 project. So you have all these east-west trails, but nothing connecting north-south. And so this would be one where you would be able to connect up Highway K to Highway S to up to E, and then, you know, all the way north. And you can see how this would end up being a great connection.
Can we go back to that slide in just a second, please? So for supervisors, if you take a look at this map, you can see the broad line dividing Kenosha Racine County. And you can see just above past the green area, there's a trail that goes into Racine County. If you look at the main east-west roads, the one, of course, that's the biggest one is KR. Immediately north of that is Braun Road. And Braun Road has had restoration done on either side of it. It's quite visible. So if everyone just get kind of an idea or a, you know, kind of a feel for how this might play out, go on Braun Road, and you can look to your north, Mount Pleasant, you can look to your south, Mount Pleasant. You can see how it's been contoured, and there is an existing bike path. So I'm sure Dave can go into more detail, and Andy can as well. But it's a very good, obviously, primer just to kind of get your mind around it.
And that's a perfect segue for Bill Sassy to talk about the Mount Pleasant project.
We didn't plan this. So.
Thank you, Andy. Hi, I'm Bill Sassy. I've been involved in this project since 1990. We did early plans, preliminary plans back at that stage. I worked as a designer, project manager on this plan through those years, and became the engineer for the Village of Mount Pleasant, which we continued to complete this project. This particular section of the Pike River goes from County Trunk Highway KR, county line, all the way up to County Trunk Highway C, which is Spring Street. And the yellow boxes indicate what we had determined to divide this project up into phases. There are 9 phases on this particular drawing. Number 1 being, and 2 being up here at the north end, and each box is another phase. We developed a plan when we first started to work on this project to try and determine what makes sense in setting a plan in motion that is can't be done 1 year. I mean, it's just too big. You're not going to build 5 miles of stream restoration work in 1 year. We also had a limitation on the amount of money that was being taken in. Mount Pleasant had a good pot of money when this started, so that helped, and it also gave us enough to do a larger phase here in the upper portion. So with that pot of money that we had to begin with, we searched for more money to get funding to do, supplement the local share. The first phase is shown here to the right. This is the land prior to construction, farm fields, and like the slide Dave showed, the linear north branch of the Pike River, which is all ditched through this area. Same area where the river used to go down this alignment now shows all of the squiggly lines of the remeandered stream, shows ponds to help the water flow through and filter it. This has all been excavated to provide a large area, which was about 15 acres, that was dug down about 6 feet or 8 feet. And that's one of 3 large flood storage areas on the Pike River. In a 100-year storm, all of this floods and stores water. Obviously, the trail might not be usable at that time, although it is up outside the banks of the flood storage area, but this is one of the 3 areas that stores flood water. It's a little hard to see, but you can see this white line coming around and down the right side of that area. That is a bike trail, and we also on this phase constructed a bike trail on the west side. They connect down here below this pond so that people could do the initial walk, ride, whatever they wished, and make a loop rather than having them go out and come back in the same, I don't want to say boring trail, but they didn't want to have to see it twice. So that area was large enough, we decided to make the first section of the trail loop with the intention that it would connect according to the bike plan that Mount Pleasant had, which was also coordinated with Kenosha County in all of the municipal planning down here. So we have phase 1, flood storage. Dave also talked about some of the ecological values, the 300-foot buffer strip concept, if you will. We had agreed with the DNR to achieve minimum amounts of buffer strip wherever possible. And we also had agreed with the DNR that any point of inflow into the river would have some kind of water quality treatment, hopefully something that could help drop the sediment. All of this area has been planted in the lowest areas with wetland plants. All of the areas along the trail, which are a little higher in the land elevation, have prairie plants planted along them. So there's a diversity of plant structure in the area. As I mentioned, these ponds actually pick up water from development to the east and runs it through each one of those ponds, giving the water, the storm water, an opportunity to settle out the sediment load as it goes through the ponds, and then we'll end up going through kind of an overland cattail marsh. Cattails are what ended up growing there eventually. They like to grow just about anywhere. But that filters the water before it gets into the actual river. This, as you can see here, was a dry detention basin that was used by upstream development. We modified it to have some partial deep water areas for sediment storage in there. We decided that some of this would be better to keep for more amphibian and reptile habitat. So we didn't dig out that whole pond. So we have the plants, the wetland plants, the prairie plants, to help filter the water in the terrestrial corridor along the Pike River, providing, you know, habitat for all of the other land bugs, birds, and animals that are going to be out there and are out there to use that. Along with that, we looked at getting the water quality that was needed, again, by providing the ponds and the plants before the water goes into the river. And as you can see, the straight line that used to be there, we meandered through this marsh area. This actually was a sediment pond in the first phase. We decided to keep it. After we got done, we realized that the fish really kind of liked to have one area that wasn't just streaming. They really seemed to like that, and although it's not always considered desirable because rough fish tend to go to those areas, but it turned out that this was kind of like a good refuge area, so we left it in the plan. We learned a lot from this first phase. After the first three phases, we stopped for about a year and got all the stakeholders back together and said, what are we doing right? What are we doing wrong? What do we do moving forward? Those stakeholders, which included Army Corps, DNR, all of the local officials, we had a lot of people in the room talking about it with our biologists and our fish people and all of the other experts that were there. The one thing that we found out and realized is that as much good as we did here, because we just planted wetland plants, that stream was open to the sunlight all the time. Didn't have any shade, and that tended to raise the temperature of the water, which increased algae growth. Not more than was there before, but it was a problem still. And we decided that in phases going forward, we're going to be planting more trees and more willows and other bank stabilizing and shading kind of woody vegetation. We weren't planting the area to become a forest, just along the stream banks. So that's one thing we learned. We moved on to, this is actually the second phase in the lower part here. We moved on to the third phase, which is very cramped development right up almost to the edge of the bank, so we had very little to work with there. Our buffer strips weren't to what we wanted, but we had to live with them. Our fourth phase, down south of Case High School, was another floodplain storage area where we did this same concept, dug out the fields, created another big floodplain storage area, and put new ponds, large new ponds in this area. That actually is a really nice place now. I've seen people fish out there and catch a lot of fish. I've taken my grandson out there and spent a whole hour doing nothing but baiting the pole and handing it to him to take the next fish on. So, nice little fishing spot. It's a little hard to get at because you have to walk a ways to get into it, but it's a beautiful looped area. We have benches and tables for people on bicycles to stop and rest, picnic, whatever the case might be that goes along with that. Phase five down here was a continuation. We pretty much left the stream intact and benched up the sides to provide flood storage. Some of this area was used as a fill site to get rid of some of the dirt. Phase six, down here south of Highway 11, again, very tight stream conditions with industrial operations on both sides of the stream, and then it opened up further south of that phase where we could do a little bit more larger floodplain work. Phase 7, we got down here, and again, we're in the open fields, so we had a lot of latitude. Again, we opened it up quite a bit, and here are areas in here that we put large ponds in, and they might have widths of the terrestrial corridor up to like 1,000 feet or maybe even a little more. So we have large floodplain area, large wetlands, large terrestrial prairie habitat, very similar down here in phase 8. In phase 9, we have a very large floodplain down here as well. This is an indication of what some of the area might look like for one of the wetlands along the side of the stream. I believe that's the stream kind of in the backside. And then these plants are here to let the water flow over when it comes up and sit there and absorb the water and filter the sediment loads out with the intent and hope that we get these guys in there. We know that they're there now. We have evidence that they're there. We have pictures of them. We have anecdotal evidence from people catching fish, primarily up here in the ponds in phase 4. But we now have a 5.2-mile environmental corridor. It greatly reduces the flooding and erosion. We have water quality and terrestrial and better aquatic habitats. Increased developable land. We took a lot of homes, about 150 homes, when the floodplain was shrunk to this corridor. Those homes no longer had floodplain restrictions on them, so they didn't have to pay flood insurance anymore. And 150 homes not having to pay flood insurance made a lot of people happy. Some people were paying over $2,000 a year for that. When we shrunk that floodplain, we also increased the developable land, and I think we're almost close to 200 acres of new land that can now be developed, primarily in this area up here and in the south end by where the fields were down further south. We put the trail in all the way from the very north end by Spring Street. It goes all the way through this, connected continuously down to KR. That trail has now been connected along KR and comes down 31. I'm sure most, if not all of you, have seen that trail right along the east side of Highway 31. Goes into Petrifying Springs. Multi-year, multi-phase project, because we decided that we needed to keep the project small enough to do in a year and within the economic scope of what we had in the way of funding coming in. Overall, I'd say we had about 40 to 45% of this project was funded by a numerous different funders, including the Army Corps that did the last two phases down here, which was the most expensive phases. And I always thank them very much for their cooperation and involvement in the project. That was, I forget what the dollar amount was on that, but I think it was somewhere around $6-7 million. But again, there's a local share there, but they came to the table and really helped support with the last two phases. This has become part of the county brand. This particular project has been touted by the DNR and numerous conservation groups as a model for what to do with some of our impaired urban streets. This is what had happened when we got done with the project. This is taken off of KR. This is what the river looks like down there now. And this is what it looks like after it's flooded. This picture was taken in 2017 after we had a major flood event. Highway K did not overflow. This was supposed to be a flood event of greater than 100-year expectance. So we know it works. This flood area is proof of that. We have a little video here of a drone that we've had flown over the North Branch. This is a pond area up in the very north end. Again, you can see that pond here. This is phase one. You can see the trails on both sides of the area. The stream, as it comes up here, goes through that pond that was the sediment pond. And then you can see the meandering as we go through the floodplain storage area with these other ponds that where the water was filtered. This is a little bit of an area that stores water at the end of a pipe coming from the upland area, dropping sediment here.
What's the width of the river right there?
What is what?
The width.
The river itself? The river itself is probably only 10 to 15 feet wide in that area. And it gets smaller as it goes north. Up in this area is probably 7 to 8 feet. 10 feet in some spots. This is almost to the very headwaters area at the top of that slide. That slide was cutting off right about here. This is Spring Street up here, and that is the headwaters area of the river.
Back to your the section that had the multi-step trails on both sides. How many acres is that?
That one particular area here, I think we purchased 18 acres of land in the middle of that. It's probably around 25 plus the pond that was there. And we got deeded to us.
So that's 25 times 300,000, which you had spoken about earlier. Okay.
I think, if I remember correctly, this area stored almost 80 acre feet. 1 foot, 80 acres in size, or if you stack it on top of each other, 10 feet or 8 acres. Good man. It's a lot of storage.
So I've got a question for you as far as ongoing maintenance. I guess one of the big things that is desirable is to filter out the sediment, have it collect and not go into the mainstream. Is that self-sustaining or is it have to be dredged out from time to time to keep the sediment at acceptable levels? What's the plan there?
Most of the sediment load ends up dropping off in these end of pipe treatments, such as these little ponds here where we have storm sewers dumping right into them. It's designed that way so that we have one smaller area that if we have to dredge, it's going to be there. Most of the time, those areas don't get dredged more than 30, 40, 50 years at a time. And since a lot of that comes from upstream development where there's a pond already in place, it could well be 50, 60 years before we have to dredge those ponds. I don't know how long it's going to take for sediment buildup in the wetland area to effectively change the flood storage component. Mm-hmm. I know that it's going to be a long time past our life. Exactly when, I don't know that there's any good data on that.
So this is a question for anyone in the room as well, perhaps you as well, Andy. If it is getting more creatable acres, you said perhaps up to 200 acres could be created on this one project. Would developers typically be required to have some type of retention basin or water management plan as part of their construction project?
They are. In all municipalities, there's a stormwater ordinance that does require the development that creates the impervious surfaces that don't exist now to hold it and treat it before it gets into the system.
Good, thank you. Any other questions from committee members? Thank you, Bill.
Thank you.
Supervisor?
Yeah, just curious. On average, a detention basin, how often do they have to be dredged?
Give it to the engineer.
There's a lot of variability in that. An example would be if you had a large development come in with, say, 28 unit buildings on 40 acres or something like that. there's an awful lot of soil disturbance, an awful lot of runoff, and an awful lot of sediment load that comes off of that land. In that kind of scenario, you could, if you had a bad event, you might have to go in and clean that pond out before you actually approve a development. But in this case, these upstream developments all have their own sediment requirements and stormwater requirements. So there's not a lot of new sediment from a construction site coming into this. So again, these ponds probably won't get dug out for decades.
Good evening. Hi, I'm Beth Reiner Adler, and I'm a planner with the Chicago District Army Corps of Engineers. So I'm here tonight because I'm a partner on this project. We are a partner, and I wanted to introduce you to the Corps of Engineers, because before I joined the Corps, I didn't know anything about it. You might not either, so I thought it'd be worth giving you a little bit about us and why we are very interested in these ecological restoration projects. So the Corps is, we are the nation's engineers, and we have been the nation's engineers since 1802. We are also the largest, the world's largest public engineering design and construction management agency. So we have three programs that we implement: civil works, interagency and international services, and military construction. And under the civil works programs, we have three business lines: environmental restoration, flood risk mitigation, and navigation. And tonight we're going to be talking about environmental restoration, because that is the type of project we're talking about here tonight. So environmental restoration is a primary mission of the Corps of Engineers, and because it ensures, they ensure public health and safety, they restore essential ecosystem services, they generate business activity, and create jobs. And when, so the way it works is somebody like County of Kenosha comes to the Corps and says, hey, we have this project in mind, would you guys be interested in helping us out? So the Corps has to decide if there's a federal interest in the project or not. Because if there's no federal interest, we cannot be a partner with the project. So the first step is that we have to determine whether or not there's a federal interest. So we write a report called a Federal Interest Determination Report, and that was done in September of 2017 for this project. So what that report found was that the South Branch Pike River has been severely degraded by agricultural ditching and rapid urbanization, and that there was an opportunity here to implement a cost-effective and environmentally justified project that could achieve many benefits and federal objectives. So those objectives include improving aquatic habitat for fish, migratory birds, and native plants, improving water quality and storage, reducing volume and velocity during flood events, reducing pollutants, establishing prairie habitat for federally endangered species such as the rusty patch bumblebee, which is located in this area. And because the report found that it appeared that the value of the benefits from the project would exceed the cost of the project, and that that there was a strong federal interest in this project. So, and on top of those items, the other very important piece is that the project had a very willing and able non-federal sponsor, who is the County of Kenosha.
Jim.
We're here to talk a little bit about the project budget. The total cost of this project, well, the Army Corps started working on the costing either last year or the year before, and based on their estimates of other projects they have of this length,
and that need certain quantity of rock or a certain amount of ditching or a certain amount of land. The total cost of the project was estimated to be $16.6 million. And what they do is they're going to put up $10 million, and the county is responsible for the balance of the $6.6 million. We have already done last year and this year work in the feasibility area, so some of this money has already been spent, split the cost with them of this feasibility phase. And the $16.6 million would be put into the budget. We are still refining those costs. We do not have a final number, but when the budget is presented in a month or so, we'll have some better numbers. There will be something in the budget that will be spread over. Some will be in 2022, and then some will be in 2023 and 2024. And the first chunk for next year would be the land part. Now, we, as the non-federal sponsor, we have to come up with the $6.6 million, but we can go out and get grants for as much of that money as we can, and then the rest would be bonding. So we have a list here of possible sources of funding, and there's a lot of them out there. And we have our feelers out to try to come up with some money from the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation, the Wildlife Service, Fund for Lake Michigan, or the DNR, and there's many others. So you will see something in the 2022 budget, the beginning part of it, and then it'll be spread into the years after that. So I want to mention that the cap for the Army Corps is $10 million. We've tried to get them to come with more, but that's their legal amount that they can contribute, so.
Well, as far as funding goes, Jim, can we apply for grants and so forth for our balance of the $6 million?
Oh, yeah, we can come up with any of that. We, as a non-federal sponsor, we could get money from Summers, we could get money from the city, or any of those, or any other organizations that contribute to a project like this. And we have started to do that.
So I'm sure the details will follow as far as financing goes, is that right?
Yes.
Question to you, Andy.
Question first.
Go ahead, Supervisor Rodriguez.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Jim, have we reached out at all to Mississippi or the Village of Summers? Or we've started those discussions?
Yeah, we've had several meetings with both of those.
And do they seem responsive at this point?
They haven't said no yet.
All right, thank you.
Question for you, Andy, or for Beth, either one. If I understand correctly, does Green Bay Road more or less represent the subcontinental divide in this area between water going to one watershed or the other?
I would say yes, for the most part.
So does this project actually have some bearing, some importance, because we're talking about crossing the subcontinental divide and emptying into Lake Michigan? Does that have a bearing on this whole project?
Yeah, so basically, right, because everything that is going to Lake Michigan is on the east side of subcontinental divide, and everything that would be west would be going to the Des Plaines, Mississippi, into the Gulf.
Very good, thank you. What? Supervisor,
go ahead.
Supervisor Brodsky.
When you initially looked at this, the studies from 2013 or 2017, was the main bridge considered at all? I know a lot of it's underground, which, you know, poses a problem in itself. But I'm being selfish with my question because I live on a tributary of the Pike River on the north side of Kenosha, not far from the golf course. And the flooding, I'm 40 feet above the tributary, and it looks like a raging ocean sometimes, this whole valley. So was it ever looked at or studied to look at also not just the south but the main, since that is what directly goes into Lake Michigan and that's where the pike are coming up into the river? Because, you know, you've got a lot of natural land and then it's inner city. So
that's my question. Yeah, great question. So the strategy, the big strategy with restoring these watersheds is to work your way from the headwaters down the river.
What does that mean, headwaters? I'm sorry.
So headwaters is the very beginning of where you start to get inputs into that, those small streams and the bigger streams like the South Branch. So the headwaters of the South Branch is the Highway 50 area, the Leona's Meadows. A lot of Whitecaps actually drains into the South Branch. You've got all the developments on the east side of the South. It all is draining into the airport. A lot of the airport drains into the South Branch. So, again, we also have a lot of hydro soil there that's being farmed right now, which isn't maximizing its potential. We're going to maximize the potential of that area, the headwaters, to hold a lot more of that water and slowly release it. Because if we don't do that, whatever we do downstream is putting good money after that.
So are you saying by fixing the South Branch, it'll help the main branch?
Yes, exactly.
And is there any thought to looking at some parts of the main branch? Because there could be some significant restoration between Highway E and Highway E and probably, I don't know, 15th Street.
Right.
I mean, because it gets really bad there.
It is really bad there. I fish those rivers. I see how bad it is. If we don't get these headwaters first, the projects downstream be a lot more expensive. We have funders right now that won't touch downstream projects until we address the headwaters.
Okay, and I should have said it's actually from KR to 15th Street because you've got the whole golf course right there. So, Ray, you were going to respond?
Yeah, I just wanted to point out, maybe Andy, go back to the very first the watershed map that shows the whole watershed.
Yeah, that would be helpful.
And then... You didn't have to do that. You didn't have to do that, Andy.
We're all waiting.
So if you got your pointer, Andy, or whoever's got it, Dave. So the North Branch, that is what Bill talked all about. That's up in Mount Pleasant. But it kind of enters into the North Branch, comes into Kenosha, and then pretty much right at Highway A, if you're at the intersection of A and 31, that's where those rivers converge. So if you look where we put that bike, that bridge, right? So that's exactly where he's got the pointer right now. So the section we're talking about working on is the South Branch down here between K and S, close to the headwaters of the South Branch. And then that's this project. Matt, though, because of the location of the main branch that starts in Petz, where the rivers converge, the North and South Branch, Matt's already started the past two. He's got two, he's just finishing up phase two, which he's going to report on tonight. We've started in the main branch already because of all the work that was done up north in Mount Pleasant. It still made sense from an engineering standpoint to start on the main branch. By now complementing the work on the north, the work that we're starting kind of in the middle or the starting point of the main branch, and what we're going to be doing down here, everything's kind of coming together so that the folks that are downstream like yourself, you'll start to see, we've already seen just from what was done in the North Branch with Mount Pleasant, what Bill did, it's a huge impact on Petz. And now the work that Matt's doing in Petz is adding another layer. This would be another layer. And so it's kind of incrementally, as all these pieces are being tackled, it's just a continuous improvement kind of a process.
So eventually, when we've addressed the South Branch and we've addressed all phases of Petrifying Springs adjacent to Parkside, will the county move and work with the city on the rest of it that actually flows out into the harbor?
Yeah, that would be, to be honest with you, it would be decades down the road that we get to that part. Yeah, so I'd like to think so, but I don't think I'll be sitting in this chair.
Right? Okay, I will
either. We'll be grandchildren.
But we're doing a heck of a lot of improvement. I mean, already there has. It's been huge. There's noticeable improvement. If you talk to John Rudy, the former parks director, just prior to Matt, it used to be before Bill's project was done, when we got a one-inch rain in 4 hours, so not even like some of the monsters we've gotten in the most recent years, we'd have to shut down Petz. The road would flood because everything was just coming through drainage ditches, getting to Petz. One-inch rain, he'd have to close the main road to the park down. Now we've
handled. And the golf course.
And the golf course, yeah, and the golf course. So now we've already seen from the work that's been done, we can handle actually a pretty significant amount of rain, even with some of the bad ones we've had. And each step we take towards restoring it just makes it that much better.
Is it the pipe that runs through municipal golf course too, or is that a different tributary?
That is
the Pike Creek.
It's the Pike Creek.
Okay, yeah. Gotcha. All right, thank you. That's all I have.
It's Pike River and Kinsella at the Van Shaw.
One more thing on the, as far as the headwaters go, there, Root Pike Wind and our partners, whether it's Mount Pleasant or Village of Summers, Kenosha County, we probably have 25, 30 more projects in the headwaters in some phase of development that will also contribute to lessening the blow that you get on the main branch. Even the country club, last week we had discussions with them about doing more in that stretch.
Well, I have awesome before pictures, so I can take out of
the Anything for Supervisor Belsky? Yeah. Supervisor Bird.
Jim, the 6.6, you said two is going to be in the budget this year, the land portion?
I'm not sure the exact amount, but yeah, we would be budgeting the land.
Okay. Knowing how some people pick things apart, is there any way to show, like Bill had mentioned, that 150 residents had taken, had really get rid of their flood insurance? Is there any way to show any sort of ROI on that? ROI, return on investment, in terms of, so if what we do, if certain people, certain residents are able to not have to purchase flood insurance anymore, how is it going to, you know, where can we save money? Where is the community going to be able to save money? I support it, but, you know, just that argument that, that we're going to have with some folks, you know, where is it, where are we going to be able to save money?
Large farms that are involved with this. Future projects have smaller parcels that are involved, and there would be, you know, other properties that have homes on. The beginning phase is the farmland, it's the open space. Most of it's all floodplain wetlands, so it gives us the opportunity to have big impacts to everything that we've talked about and that, that they've shared because of that opportunity.
So I think Supervisor Bird brings up a good point. We could take a look at this particular south branch and say, okay, we're expecting that there may be some reduction in property owners having a flood insurance. You can look into that. And also look into the fact that if we have more acreage which is now developable for, say, residential or whatever, that's an economic benefit as well. So I think if we have some of those homework or background things done as this proceeds along, it's going to help us to educate our populace. So let's make sure we're on that page.
Sure, good point. Any other questions at this point?
Questions, comments, or supervisors? You the governance, I know you're eager, you've got something more you want to talk about. Yeah. Go ahead.
You mentioned the multi-use care that was part of our earlier plan for 2013. That are we budgeting for?
Is it already budgeted for?
Yeah.
The trail for this is not.
Is it coming from the county or from here?
It's part of the whole project. It's a part of the project with Army Corps. There's an actual match and a split between the costs on that.
Supervisor Rodriguez.
Thank you. I just want to highlight, I know we went through this the other night, but just so my colleagues know, and we can convey this to the rest of the board too, this is not a case of the Army Corps might give us $10 million. This is a, if we go through with this project, they're matching 60%. I don't know if they want to speak on that. They would match up to 60% or a max of $10 million, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, so the Army Corps is a cost-sharing agency, so we, our Civil War projects, and the 206 program in particular, we cost-share 65%, 35%, federal government paid 65%. If the project came out to be $10 million, we wouldn't then give you $10 million, we would pay 65% of that $10 million. And as we previously mentioned, under the 206 authority, we have a hard stop that the federal government can only spend up to $10 million. 5%, which really brings that total project cost, if you're doing the math, to I think 15.3 or 4 before that bullet comes in that says to the non-federal sponsors, we'll be responsible for any additional costs. So there's a little bit of nuance to the cost share breakdown, but it's not a grant. We don't give you $10 million. We give you 65% of the total project cost, up to $10 million for that.
And I think the point is that the last bullet point is that the costing is, if we're in that process, is the finishing out the plan, and the plan can get costed out, and then we know what that would be.
What all I'm trying to highlight, because I know, you know, at the last meeting we had this question, what I'm trying to highlight is that it's not, you know, it's an up to a $10 million hard stop, but not really in the sense that, you know, we're not expecting 10, and then the Army Corps is going to come back and say, oh, well, we're only got $4 million for it. That's not going to happen.
Absolutely true. If the project came to $10 million again for easy numbers, we don't have the authority or power to say we're not going to give you 65%. If we're partnering in the project, we're paying 65% up to $10.
That's all I'm thinking.
Yep. Good question. Anything else from committee members?
Two slides left. So just one comment on this is, as Jim mentioned, the Fund for Lake Michigan, we've already worked with them, and they've already given county a $184,000 grant that we've used to, in the feasibility section of this or phase of this project, to be able to gather the data that we've been doing. So that's been a great help, and they're very supportive of this project, as they're supportive of the projects going through PES. So here I wanted to kind of just take you through the timeline of where we kind of see things going right now. So in 2020 we started the feasibility with Army Corps started the feasibility with our help, and then in 2021 we're continuing to work through that as they get through into the design and then the costing and budgeting. 2022 is, as kind of has already been mentioned, would be when acquisitions would be looked to take place. We'd continue to, through this project, as you can see, we'd be continuing to look for grants to offset the costs on the local share. 2023, land acquisition would finish out. Construction documents would be written, bidding would start taking place. Again, we continue to look for grants. Construction would then be in 2024, 2025. Somewhere in that time frame is when that would occur. And with that, we have a final slide for Dave to follow up.
Thanks, Dave. This project is a legacy project. It's not a project that is going to last 10 years and the bloom's going to be off the rose. This will be here for generations. I'm in this kind of work not so much for me anymore, for my kids, your kids, their kids. That's my son David fishing on phase 3. Bill, you mentioned phase 3 in the North Branch. And I didn't even fish. I just sat and watched him fish because it's so awesome. This is not just about fishing. This is, like I said earlier, it starts with flood storage. The core kernel, the engine of the project, is reducing flooding. When we reduce flooding, we improve water quality, we create these great habitats, and now we have that sense of place. People want to be near clean water and near places that don't flood. The incredible part about this project also is that it has a lot of those overlapping benefits that allow us to go after different kinds of funding. You mentioned the trail network. Well, there's lots of grants just for trails, and we're going to go after those. There's grants just for habitat. The vast majority of this funding, as I understand it, comes from the EPA, which is targeting restoring the rusty patch habitat, which is a federally endangered species. So we're going to get all these great flood benefits, flood reduction benefits, these new habitats, and a lot of it's related to this little endangered bumblebee. So it's an incredible project, and I really encourage you to support it. I know we've given you a lot of information today. I'm available at any time to answer any other questions that you may have. I thank you for all your time today.
Mr. Arbor?
Yeah, just a key thing, too, that these guys can echo, or the Army Corps can echo, is from a timing standpoint, you know, Andy outlined that there's a lot of due diligence, data gathering, technical soils data, and so forth that's been gathered over the past year. The Army Corps has committed to us, and this is one of those things that if they believe strongly in it and they support it, meets all their requirements, they come to the table and say, yeah, we want to be a partner in this. But if we don't decide to hold up our end of the stick or commit to it, this probably doesn't happen again. And that's not to scare or intimidate anybody. It's just how it works from what we understand. And maybe they can explain a little bit about that as well. But that's part of it. And that's why we wanted to bring it this year. We've got enough base data pulled together. I think there's a pretty well-rounded amount of information. There's still much more stuff to do. But we're at that point where we got to kind of look at it and seriously, are we going to commit to this or not? And it's kind of a once-in-a-lifetime thing. So that's my perspective. If Beth wants to add anything or Alex.
Yeah, I think maybe the point you're going to have, at least from the Corps' perspective, is you know the CAP program, our Continuing Authorities program, is competitive. We're competing with other projects and communities across the country who are at the same point, or at the federal interest determination phase, or already in design implementation, you know, all trying to get a piece of a pizza that's not growing. You know, so like, yeah, you get out of line. We're back to the beginning, which again is not to intimidate anybody. It's just we're processing. You know, with the federal government, with you know our own layers of process and bureaucracy, and all these steps take time. You know, I don't think it's right quite to say that it's a once in a lifetime opportunity. But if you get out of line, there is a multi-year process.
So my comment is, I'm not an expert, I'm not the smartest guy in the room, but as a casual observer, I can see that this area we're speaking about is undergoing very rapid urbanization, as is our whole county. You look at Uline, you look at Amazon, you look at the housing developments, you look at all these other projects that are going on. And here, east of the interstate, in a very urban area, we have an opportunity. On the other hand, you look at the weather patterns, and whether you believe in global warming or not, the weather events that occur are more severe, more precipitation, hurricane now, second one coming into the southern part of the country. But even though we've kind of missed out this particular season on big, huge torrential rains, it happened in Tennessee, our turn will come again. We will have epic rains at some point. If we're prepared, we're in good shape. If we're not prepared, woe to you who had the opportunity and didn't seize it. So my thing is, Carpe Diem, thank you for being here this evening. This is wonderful. Questions or comments?
Supervisor
Bird.
Sorry, a couple more real quick questions. Of the section between S and K, how many assumed gallons are in that section currently?
I can really only speak to an estimate on if we approved it.
You don't know enough, but if we approved it, okay.
Yeah, I mean, right now it's pretty much all being conveyed. You get drain tiles underneath the farmland, and then when it rains, it goes in and into the channel. A lot of that water is not absorbing into the historically hydric areas there because it's running off from those drain tiles.
What is the acreage land-wise that we're trying to investigate or communicate?
The project area of these three properties, I think there's about 220 acres.
Nice. Okay. Thank you.
The other thing I would add to that is those two or three parcels in there are predominantly floodplain. They're not developable. This project really dovetails some serious re-infrastructure into an area that's not really good.
Okay. I run a nonprofit garden, so whenever you say bumblebees and bees, I'm on the right way. I completely support that because they can travel up to 7 miles, so yeah, they're going to pollinate my vegetables.
We'll make sure to do that.
Can you guys list some contact information?
Sure.
Great. Appreciate it. That's all I have.
Sure.
And we do have paper handouts on this presentation, and we can send you an electronic version if you want to look at that as well. All right, thank you.
Anyone else? Supervisor Rodriguez.
Thank you. You don't have to, but I think it would be easier for us to make to know what I'm talking about. You go back to the slide where it shows what chunk of the river is this the space that we're going to start with. Now, just south of what the current project is there in that middle graphic, the southern, you know, when I talk about the headwaters, will we be addressing that, or is that so small, there's not a lot of water that moves through in that area, that area is fine?
Is that the area you're talking about?
Correct, yeah.
That area is what we would call it's technically wetland floodplain in there as well. It's not high quality, but there's a lot of wetlands and floodplain vegetation that exists in that area already. We talked to the county about that area, and we work specifically with the landowners in that area to try and improve that, to make it even, you know, more high performing. But it doesn't need the serious attention that between K through S. If we did nothing else in this watershed, but restore those three, four, five parcels in this project area, it would be a measurable difference to the whole system.
Okay, thank you.
And just one comment, that's the homeowners association owns most of that wetland complex that's adjacent to the pike at that point. That's what Dave's saying, is that it's kind of already in an open space situation, but it can't be enhanced.
Just back to Mount Pleasant briefly, the Braun Road crossing of the bike trails adjacent to the North Branch project, that's still under construction. Is there a completion time if they're going to have that bike path completed? I want to know.
The bike path from Braun to KR is done. I know they're doing some infrastructure work for the Wisconsin Valley, so you can't access it right now. But I'm guessing in the next 6 months to a year, that's all going to open up again.
Okay, very good. Any other questions from Supervisor Roski?
So from Highway E to S, we're not doing anything? There's no issues in that area?
From E to S, there are similar issues, but we're starting further, as far as...
Far down, and then, okay.
Yeah. Our goal is to restore that whole entire stretch to right after you get to Highway E.
Okay. Thank you.
That little section south of K, you said, what homeowners association is that? Just back to
the Yonas Meadows.
Yeah. Where I live, my wife and I, it's further west, but it's near there, up 60, just the other side of Whitecaps. Mm. And we have two retention ponds. Horizon subdivision, and the water, I believe, goes into the Kilborn Ditch, and then I believe it goes into the Splains.
Correct.
That's correct.
Thank you. See no more questions. I'd like to thank Andy, Dave, Beth, Bill for being here. Didn't catch your name, but thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Everybody good with carrying that? We need a 2 minute, 5 minute recess, or we just plow through? Okay, go ahead. Mr. Martinelli, I believe you're up next in your presentation.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. KCAB and Molinaro Security modifications. KCAB, Public Safety Building and Courthouse Window Replacement. Replacement PO was issued to Berglund Construction. Work will start September 24th with the completion in October. And just to kind of break that down a little finer, the boards will be coming down off of KCAB, those very large glass windows. That's actually what we have scheduled to be replaced on the 24th, along with a couple other smaller windows on KCAB. So those will all be done. along with a couple windows on the PSB and the plywood on there. The doors themselves are a longer lead time. Everything now is taking longer to get material and stuff. The doors at KCAB and on the courthouse and the public safety building, those will be later in October. But the big windows, the windows and the plywood for KCAB will all come down. For the public safety building, the couple windows there that get broken out, the plywood will come down. The only thing is the front doors that barely held with the current design, they kind of had to be able to take out the support in the middle during construction. So working with the sheriff, working with engineers and architects, we're going to come up with a stronger design. So that will take just a little longer to get in, and we're scheduling that for November. So bottom line is the big plywood and everything off of KCAB is coming down on the 24th, and the majority of the plywood on the PSB in the 24th.
Supervisor Rodriguez.
Thank you. Are those planters still down there in front of the PSB, in front of the doors? Very large concrete planters.
PSB. I can't remember if we brought those back during the, because they were gone, but I thought we brought them back.
The two of them, I think.
Yeah,
it's just
two.
They got to be like 4 or 5 foot across.
Yeah, I think they actually didn't, they took them off. They took them away.
Yeah, those. One of those things, you go in there a million times, but they were there originally, and I know that some of them ended up out at the detention center, but the sheriff wanted them out there, but I can't honestly answer that.
Those were placed during last year's events, correct?
So they were placed then?
Yeah, they weren't. I know they weren't there before. Are they still there? You know, they've been there for some time.
It's. I hate to say it, but yeah, you walk into it and things just, you know, you get so used to things being there now.
You don't know.
Think twice about it.
So are they, is that the kind of sheriff's call that he asked for those? So they may stay there if they're still there?
Frank works pretty closely with the sheriff's department on anything related to security.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so we can check into that. I honestly don't recall if those are still there. I know there's some out at the detention center. And those, I know, were the original ones from when the safety building was constructed in 82, those planters, those big planters you're talking about.
All right, thank you.
I, you know what? It's funny. We go there, take measurements and stuff, and I'm kind of looking back at my pictures really quick. But yeah, I'm going to go there on my way home tonight, just see if they're still there.
Frank, as it relates to the administration building downtown, once the wood is down, the windows are replaced, is Allen and Associates going to do the protective film on those?
Not necessarily Allen and Associates. We're actually working now, putting the drawings and specs together for that building. You got to detail it out very closely per window, per section, per door. So we're working on the drawings and specs for that. That one looks like we had Allen Associates take a look at it, and it looks like it's going to be under $25,000, so we can get quotes for that.
Mm-hmm.
Once we get the drawings and specs together, we'll get the quotes, and it looks like we'll be able to get that KCAP, just the first floor, like we did at Molinaro in December.
Oh, so it's still being spec'd out then for the protective film, is what you're saying?
Pardon me?
It's still being spec'd out?
Yes.
Okay, good. That's fine. Thank you. Anything else for Frank on this particular item?
And actually, that we had completed the work over at Molinaro with the 3M window film and overall, the biggest thing, overall, well, so I'll leave it at that. And KCAB enhanced security transaction windows and door specifications. Literally, we're finalizing, just sharpening the edge to get the bid out on the street. Probably about by Monday, and we're hopefully supply chain issues and stuff to start in October and November for construction.
Any questions on this particular session? Carry on, thank you.
Okay. Okay, we'll go on to the Civic Center campus design and construct parking lot. The city initial review was completed back in July. We submitted updates, drawings, specifications. We're awaiting the final approval, but Johnson & Sons has been awarded the contract, and they're going to start demolition work on September 17th. And this is both the houses that we took down on 11th Avenue, east of 11th Avenue, and we're going to resurface the parking lots in very, very poor shape just to the west. No questions on that. We'll go on to the KCDC HVAC replacements, phase one. As we talked about, the low bidder was Southport, but it still was overbid. We worked with them, purchasing engineering consultant, able to re-quote a smaller scope and get the project in so we'd still meet the timeline by the end of March and avoid the 5% increase that was coming down. So we went ahead with the $1.53 million. Right now, we're just finalizing all the submittals with the manufacturer to make sure that we get the right equipment that'll meet all the right specifications, but all the equipment is on order. And actually, the lead times are pressing 16 weeks or more, but even with that, because we did pull the trigger and lock it in, we're still going to be able to get done by the end of March. No questions on that one. We'll go on to the Kemper water infiltration repairs. The bid was awarded to the low bidder, Burley Construction. They actually mobilized on site on September 8th. And again, they'll be replacing the mortar in the places where the water is getting into the building and around the windows. And we'll have completion at the beginning of October, weather permitting.
Good. Any further questions to Mr. Martinelli? Seeing none, thank you for your report, Frank. I think we're on to Parks for Mr. Mann.
All of the cost part. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First thing in front of you this evening for the Parks Division is a resolution authorizing the Director of Parks to apply for grant funding from the County Conservation AIDS Program from the DNR to do fish stocking. Ocean County Veterans Memorial Park Lake. This is just a grant application. It happens every year with this committee and through the board. The total estimated project cost is at $2,998, which is approximately half of $1,499.50 will be Kenosha County match and would be included in this next year's budget. So this is just permission for us to apply for this grant. Additional fish stocking for this body of water.
Any questions from the committee before we move on with this item?
Move to approve. Second.
So moved and approved. Is there any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, motion passes. Thank you.
Then moving on to the division reports, a few items for everyone's here. First one is Kenosha County Veterans Memorial Park. Phase one for the Veterans Memorial features. Contractors have substantially completed the honor plaza concrete, clay walk, wall, and general grading. Work is progressing with landscaping, site furnishings, paving. It's actually occurring this week for the park, followed by striping and some minor other details. So this project is scheduled to be complete in early October, and everything is moving smoothly as scheduled. Phase two, there was a question from committee members last month requesting to see attached draft concepts for phase two for the restroom pavilion as well as the memorial shelter. So those are included within the report this evening for your review. And just as a note, this has been shared with our veterans work group with those conceptual features and unanimous approval of those features that are attached into the report for this evening. Moving on to, if we haven't heard enough about Pike River this evening, one more for you. The Pike River restoration phase two within Petrifying Springs Park, as well as the pedestrian bridge replacement. This phase two project in the park The construction was substantially completed on September 3rd of this year, so I wanted to attach a few of those project photos as well. But everything went very smooth. Some people benefited by low water levels that are out in the community.
I just wanted to do a lot of comments. I went through the Mets more regularly now. I think a lot of it was involved. Great job, man. Awesome job.
Thank you.
Are there any future phases planned for my group?
Yes, there are. We actually received a Wisconsin Coastal Management Program grant for phase 2 design. This will also be in the 2022 budget for the cost share of that grant. So we anticipate pending budget approval to move forward with phase 3 construction design. That will begin at the end of phase 2 and bring us all the way to our Petrified Springs Park property line. So this will be the last phase of the Petrified Springs Park to design next year. So we have more information to go after grant funding for construction. As early as 23, but that really depends on those funding sources. And then we move on to UW Parkside property based on our 99-year intergovernmental agreement with UW Parkside.
Correct. So we're working on dovetails together. So it's a pleasing thing to see it happening in our tenure here in Public Works. Carry on.
Next topic, Petrified Springs Park and UW Parkside, the comprehensive trail plan that goes along with that 99-year IGA. So work is ongoing with the creation of approximately 3.4 miles of multi-use hiking trails per that master plan. Park staff anticipated completing the entire 3.4 miles of this new multi-use trail and the installation of one of the total of 5 pedestrian bridges this construction season. Franklin Nature Center, you can see the attached reports, as I do every month. Special events, I won't go through every single one of them, but you can see through September and October, it is still very busy, which is a great thing for large-scale events through our county park system. I know that some of them have already occurred, like our Oktoberfest this last weekend at Old Settlers Park. We have a lot more events and venues through our fall season. And then, after each season every year, I like to just list attached a list of accomplishments for the Summer Youth Employment Program. So again, we give great kudos to these youth that come and join us for approximately 6 weeks through the summer season. It's a great program to take disadvantaged youth into the real world. Work ethics, like examples of what you can expect in a job-like format. And we get some robust projects done that otherwise wouldn't happen without their help and support. So I just wanted to include that as I do on a annual basis as well. And that is all I have for my report this evening.
Any questions, Supervisor Belsky?
I just want to say that as being on the Board of the Commission Public Market, I got a huge box thanks to Chair Grady. Pamphlets, park pamphlets, and people were like, are in awe. They didn't realize the amount of parks and activities and things that are going on in Kenosha County. So those are going really well. I'll be checking back with Matt to let him know if I need another box. I also want to say that Kenosha Public Market vendors were very excited to be a part of the food truck event that was out there. We're trying to get them more involved in county events that they're not aware of because most of them are from out of town. And then I wanted to know, how did the Woodstock series go over? I would have loved to have gone to one, but I couldn't. But how did they go over?
Very successful. We actually did so well for a first year event that we extended by 2 additional weeks over at Bristol Woods Park. And for being a first year season, it averaged around 70 people per concert. And given that's a little bit more west of the eye, I think that's pretty good and that's very robust, especially within that Pringle Nature Center, Bristol Woods area. So I'm really happy to see that we're able to optimize our resources that we already have with this Eagle Scout fan shelter and get more use out of it. So I see this as being a good recipe for future years that we can continue to bring that out.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Collins. Supervisor.
So I can just some of the Woodstock events, and they were amazing until the mosquitoes hit, right? Like, for the first few, there was no mosquitoes, and then the season went on. But they're really, really nice. We were having some conversations as we were talking about how would you turn it into, like, a meeting room any night from time to time. I thought that might be interesting. That would lose us for a while. But, yeah, they're very good. Thank you.
Anything further for Mr. Collins?
Oktoberfest. I was saying Oktoberfest was great. That was a great event. I'm just sorry I missed the wiener races, but it was great.
Thank you.
Supervisor Rodriguez.
Thank you. Do we have a date yet for the grand opening for the Veterans Memorial Park?
We hope to get that out to the committee very shortly. We're just speaking with the county executive, our veterans work group, making sure construction is going according to plan, but if everything goes according to plan, expect it sometime in mid-October. But I hope to send out more of those details to the Public Works Committee as soon as we harden up that date and time.
Very well. Thank you for your report, Matt. Appreciate it. Next up, I believe we have Mr. Wawa.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I apologize. I just distributed some pages here. And those pages are in regards to the resolution, which I'll be talking about in a few minutes. So the first resolution I have is a resolution to authorize the county to kind of sell property to the DOT, right-of-way acquisition to the DOT for a bridge improvement over the railroad, over the Canadian Pacific Railroad, just east of Highway H. Usually, we all, just like we do our own projects, we acquire right-of-way in order to do the project, so the DOT is acquiring property. And if you look at the map where you have the small yellow dots, that is actually the property. It's a very small piece of property just on the east side of the Canadian Pacific. And so DOT will be acquiring a little bit of it and some easement in order to carry out their project. So this resolution is to authorize us to actually sell county property in order for the DOT to construct their project.
So is this a permanent easement or just a construction easement?
Part of it is permanent easement and part of it is temporary easement.
What is the amount of it? Something like 0.067 acres, something like that?
Yeah, it's very small. I can't remember, but if you look on the sheets there, it's if you see where on the, just on the top left corner, you see where you have Kenosha, Kenosha County, there's a number there. That's the anchorage.
Okay.
It's very, very tiny.
So I entertain a motion to approve this proposal. Second. Berg, motion made and seconded. Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, motion passes unanimously. Continue.
Okay, the second resolution is to authorize the county to provide permanent easement to U-Line. This is, the, you see, you have those pages, I think you have two pages, no, sorry, the pages that is, you see where you have U and Q, that big one, yes. You see that the U intersection. And the second sheet is actually an enlarged section of what you have in your package, which is not very clear, but you would see the demarcation where the is actually the county is acquiring right of way from U-Line, but the entire section of that right-of-way will not be utilized for the project. Now, if you, all of you who know U-Line's property, they are very pristine. They take very good care of them, and so they want us to grant them easement to be able to take care of this section of the highway of right-of-way that we will not be using for the project. And I think it's a very good thing because they're going to take very good care of it, and they have very good technicians, and they obey all safety standards. They are very, very meticulous. So we are recommending that we should grant them this easement to be able to take care of county property.
Supervisor Rodriguez.
Thank you. Why is it crossing the street? Why do they want across the street?
No, it's not across. It's by the contiguous to their property. No, that section is just to highlight the intersection. That's the intersection, but it's only for the section that is contiguous with the U-line property.
Okay.
All right,
thank you.
So this is kind of a unique thing. Go ahead, Supervisor.
Yeah, did I hear right? Like, what are they going to be doing to maintenance of the road, you said, right?
No, maintenance of, they have a very pristine landscape.
Uh-huh.
And so they want to take the landscape all the way as much as they can to the ditch. And so because part of that ditch is county highway right-of-way, they will need us to grant them easement to be able to do whatever they want to do there.
Just on the...
By the side of their property.
Okay. So just for beautification purposes, you're not going to be out there shoveling or...
No, just beautification, yeah.
Okay.
Landscaping.
Makes sense.
So for the road that you will show with us, Serving County, this is more for the landscaping, grass area, and so forth. It's kind of a neat thing where you have property owner or landlord who wants to take responsibility for something that they ordinarily would not. So it's kind of a win-win situation. Further comments or questions? Seeing none, entertain a motion to approve.
Second.
We have a motion by Supervisor Berg, second by Supervisor Pownwell. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Seeing none, motion passes unanimously. Thank you.
Okay, going to my monthly report, the weather in August was generally very favorable for construction and maintenance activities. We engaged in general routine maintenance, and we also paved about 3 miles of County Trunk Highway N from County Trunk Highway D to 128th Avenue. Unfortunately, we also have one of our bridges closed on County Trunk Highway JB. The bridge is exhibiting some damage. It's exhibiting some serious deterioration on the deck surface. And after a more close inspection by our bridge inspector, we realized that the damage is very severe and very concerning. He has done his preliminary report, and the indication is that we should leave the bridge closed until we complete, until we find out, determine the best cost-effective way to move forward. But as of now, the bridge is closed, and he is not recommending that we should open the bridge. For state work, we continue with our spot repair, concrete spot repair on 31, as well as doing routine maintenance on state highways. On county projects, County Trunk Highway S is in its final stages, and it's very interesting. Right now, they are paving the final surface throughout the project. It's going to be ongoing till the end of the month. And they are also doing the electrical work for the signals. And so things are really coming close. And I'm beginning to get excited. I just hope the weather holds up and so that we can complete it on our schedule. But as of now, I think it's on schedule to be completed by the end of the year.
Supervisor Bird.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If you're heading east from E, right now, or Lifestyles, I don't know.
S from E, from EA, EA or E?
EA.
EA. EA.
Heading east on S.
From where?
Yeah. Right now we're using the two north lanes, correct?
Yes, the westbound lanes.
Right before the entrance to the warehouse there's kind of a dip. Is that dip only because they haven't finished paving that?
Oh yeah.
Okay, just the dip is, I'm watching cars, I'm like, wow, that's a pretty good
hit by a red
highway. There's a manhole cover there.
Okay.
I think there's a sanitary manhole cover, so you can't really adjust it up and down that much.
Okay, yeah, I noticed that we're not up to the curb either, so I just want to make sure.
Well, another way of looking at it is we want you to see how rough it is so that when we are done, you appreciate how smooth the ride will be. So, County Trunk Highway is still phase two. That is the section west of H. They're actually going progressing at the same rate, which is very interesting. The good thing is that we have the same contractor and the same construction management team, so it's really synced. So you can't tell there are two projects because they are really synchronizing the activities in order for the project to be completed all at the same time. That way it's like one project and you will not even know it's two projects. So they're all at the same pace and at the same stage of the construction, and they're both all on schedule to be completed this year if the weather holds up. County Trunk Highway F, I think I was my estimate, because most of these reports we do them in advance, so we kind of estimate where we'll be. I'm a little bit off there. I was supposed to have completed it last week, but it's actually this week, and again it depends on when the paving contractor will be coming, because the paving contractor is very busy. But the way things stand right now, F will be completed this week, not last week, as I initially indicated. Oh, I explained this week. Okay, it's completed this week, so my estimation is correct. County Trunk Highway K, we've completed the environmental documents. The environmental documents have been submitted for FHWA review. We're expecting the review comments or approval to come in last week, Friday. As of now, we have not received it, but again, that's just normal with federal agencies. It sometimes takes a while. So we are still waiting for that environmental, but we are desperately waiting because the window is closing on us when it comes to right-of-way acquisition and utility relocations. We had completed about 95% of the right-of-way acquisition, and when we were awarded the federal funds, because of some of the regulations, we couldn't continue with that right-of-way acquisition. So we have about 6 to 8 parcels that we really need to close so that utility companies can start the relocation of their facilities. So that's why we desperately want FHWA to approve that environmental document. On the other side, the designer is not waiting for that. The designer has already completed the design work, and the design plans and specification have been submitted to DOT for review. I think that will go a little bit faster and easier because the DOT has been part of the project as we continue designing.
We have a question, Supervisor Rodriguez.
Thank you. Okay. I just want to go back to ask briefly, when S is done along with Highway 15 and Highway 50 is a state project, do we expect traffic on 52nd to substantially decrease west of 31? Because, I mean, right now it's almost daily that gets backed up over the overpass, almost nearly to the eye to the west, and 231 to the east.
Yeah, that's our hope, but it might not still be that the case, because it's people get used to how they drive, and once they've stopped using Highway 50 and they're using 158, it's that by tendency they just keep doing that. But in generality, I think it's expected that the traffic will down dissipate to Highway 50 and S. But if it doesn't, I will not be surprised. At the same time, the traffic in the area based on the data we are collecting is really increasing at an exponential rate. So even if the traffic dissipates into the other street, you might not notice that because the more traffic coming into the area.
Is that something that I would say prior to these two projects happening, mm-hmm. I've never noticed 158 that busy. Mm-hmm. I think that's new to this project, these projects going on. Is that something then that the county needs to evaluate moving in the future, is expanding 158 because of such a substantial increase in
158 is actually a state road, so the state had, and there are plans to actually reconstruct 158, and the 158 was delayed because of Highway 52, because they couldn't go at the same time. But at the same time, the other thing next year too, if we'll be constructing Highway K, the traffic on Highway K might shift to 158 too. So I don't know, but if you ask me, I think that the traffic will remain the same or probably increase again, because K also will be under construction, so there'll be some detour route. Generally, people don't like using Highway 50, even though that's a major corridor. And they like using K, so I'm thinking that we're going to have more traffic.
So does the state then control the signage at 158? Is that 109th?
It's,
I think that's by
I think they control 158. It's a very funny dynamics. From one, they control 158 to I think 7th Avenue. That is called, I've forgotten the terminology. It's a kind of a street. What happens is that the general maintenance is handled by the city. If there's any major construction, then the state comes in to do that construction.
I'm talking west of.
He's talking about 104th.
Oh, 104th, okay.
Do you want to know who controls that intersection for the lighting? Is
well,
that the
no,
it would be the state.
There's no lighting there now. I don't know. 104th, it's just stop signs.
Yeah, no, 104th has a 104th on 158 has stop and go lights. That kind of goes into the, you can go south and go into,
no.
You know.
You're thinking 60th Street.
Yeah, you're thinking 60th.
Yeah,
not on 52nd. Goes to the south of where the Greyhound used to be. I think like Kennel's on the other side, but there's another manufacturer right on the
That's 104th.
That's 104th, yeah.
Yeah, and that's got a stop and go. There's stop
oh,
and go.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, 60th has got a four-way stop.
Oh,
yes. Okay.
That's what I meant. Yeah. So this whole time, I've been talking about the wrong street. I've okay. been talking about 60th. That's 60. My concern. 60th is so horribly backed up.
Right.
And now, is that a county road?
Yes.
Yes.
So is that then need to be looked at in the future? Sorry to start this whole thing over. That's my fault.
To be honest with you, we know that already. We even have data to support that because we've been collecting data all over the county. Hopefully, when we reconstruct next year, it will improve the capacity because we change from two lanes to four lanes, and then you will not see that much congestion, at least from 115 going east. Then just from 115 going to the West Frontage Road, yeah, I think you might have some bottleneck there again.
So I don't want to cut you off, but I got to. So there's a development plan, that Greenway development that's mm-hmm. planned, and part of that development plan is for them to make improvements to that intersection. Now, that's all in discussion phases right now, but that intersection you're talking about, that's a four-way stop, if we have our way with what we're trying to negotiate, that will be a controlled intersection with stop and go lights, and that intersection will be improved as part
right.
of that development.
And that's what I was getting at. But so obviously, I know that's your issue, right? I mean, that is the traffic there is so
it's horrible.
It's heavy right now.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's almost a standstill, especially in the afternoon when folks are coming off the interstate, coming back into the city
yep.
to go home. Schools are getting out. You got the industrial park there, west,
yep.
north of the main trail. So is that we do have our eyes on expanding that?
Yep.
Maybe not right now, it's on the CFP, but down the road, we have our eyes on that.
So
yes.
Right now, 60th Street, the project that's on tap for next year is going to go from the East Railroad tracks to 94th Court. So then the next section, that would be the logical, would be from 94th Court west. And to the frontage road, or at least to just shy of the trailer park with the bridge and kind of that becomes expensive. So that's in the works from a planning stage, yes, is the long answer to your short question.
And do we see ourselves, I can't imagine lights would go in there. Well, if there's a
development lights may have before the road.
Yeah, and those lights would go in a manner that would accommodate the future build-out,
right,
both east and west of that intersection.
Okay. Are we thinking about putting an overpass on 60 for the railroads?
No. Yeah, neither one of those will be an overpass.
Okay.
Yeah. I wish.
Sorry for the mix-up.
No.
52nd and 60th.
It's fine.
I'm sorry. Okay, thank you.
Okay. The next project is the bikeway finding sign project. The contractor is on course to complete it by mid-October, but there have been some delay in sign fabrication, so we are hoping that he still keeps that time frame. If not, there might be a delay. We don't know how much. But if everything works well, then by mid-October, everything will be completed, or mid-September. County Trunk Highway Y and County Trunk Highway A roundabout. Again, we're still in the design phase. The design is almost complete. Right-of-way acquisition might be starting. Will be starting first quarter of 2022. And of course, utility relocation will follow immediately after that. We are hoping that we'll have enough time of next year to complete the right-of-way acquisition and the utility relocation, because the utility relocation, there is so much. There's just a lot of utility relocation. The village of Somers also has a water main project that's going in that area. So we are working with all of those stakeholders in order to coordinate this project so that by the time we go in to construct, everybody will be done and out of that area, and then we'll come in and do the work. The village is waiting for the right-of-way acquisition to be completed, but the right-of-way acquisition is scheduled for next year. County Tongue Highway WG Bridge, this is just one of those projects that their design is, it's just hanging there. Design is going. The design has been completed. I think we are planning to advertise the project in October and then we'll open bids in November. So far, no issues envisaged at this time, and so we hope that we'll keep to the schedule. County Trunk Highway H from Illinois State Line to 165. That project is complete and is open to traffic. The only reason it's not on here is for me to tell you that it's open to traffic, because I didn't say that last time. So, County Town Highway U and Q, we open bid 18th of August, and Zegnego is the apparent low bidder with about, it came in as just shy of 3.9 million. We had a pre-construction meeting on September 7th. And we are also working with the contractor and coordinating utility work so that the contractor can start work by September 27. That's the tentative date for construction to start. By Friday, I'm going to know whether it's going to be feasible, because by then we'll be getting updates from all the utility companies within the project area. But again, this project is kind of a two-year project. It's 1 year, a few months project. We hope to complete it by late summer of next year. County Trunk Highway H from 33rd Street to Bain Station. The project is all major construction has been completed. Pavement marking, shouldering is ongoing. Pavement marking is scheduled to start tomorrow. And by weekend, the project will be complete and open. It's open to traffic, but it will be complete and open to traffic officially.
That's the Kroger one.
That's the Kroger, yes. Foxconn project, Foxconn and related DOT project, County Trunk Highway KR. Again, the project, because the project is completely closed, you can't really see how much work the contractor is doing. But they are doing a ton of work. They're significant. The bridge over the over the UP railroad is almost complete. They are building retaining walls and also doing construction of the eastbound lanes between the bridge and the Pike River. So, and then the westbound lane from the Pike River, actually from 31 to say 56th Avenue is already in and complete, so that the property can access their property from the newly constructed road. So they are doing a lot of work, but it's just a little bit hard to report because they are all over the place. But a lot of work is going there, and it's very impressive. County State Trunk Highway 50 reconstruction project from 118th to 43rd Avenue. Initially, the traffic was in the inside lanes. They've now shifted. They've completed all the construction on the outside lanes. They've now shifted the traffic to the outside lanes. They are working inside lanes right now. And of course, doing storm sewer, road reconstruction, and all those major activities. Again, the project, according to the project engineer, they're still on schedule to be completed in 2022. State Trunk Highway 50 on west of the I. It's amazing that they kind of have the same kind of traffic shift. They've shifted traffic from inside lane to, oh, I think it's the reverse. They've shifted traffic, no, to the inside lane, and they're working on the outside lane for the most part, except between Paddock Lake. Paddock Lake has a different schedule, in the sense that it's not really part of this project, but it will be reconstructed next year. So they still have some utility work there. So right now it's open, but there'll be some lane closure from time to time. But generally, along the 50 project, the traffic has moved from outside to inside. It's smooth, but it has some, they're doing diamond grinding, and so it's really smooth, but they have some finishing details that they have to do. If not, I think their whole effort will just go to waste. I think anyway, doing the masking and the potholes, they have a lot of potholes here and there. And if they don't fill those potholes, then during the winter time, things will just blow up. So, State Trunk Highway 32 from 91st Street to 85th Street. This supervisor workway asked for this, and then I went and I did some research. The work is a little bit challenging too, because there are too many moving pieces. They have a section that is concrete, and then another section that is asphalt. I think the concrete section, they are almost done. The pavement is in, and then they are grading on the section of asphalt. And they have some they have some design issues, and so they're concerned that it might delay the project a little bit. But as of today, I think they are planning to complete the project mid-November. So, I'm now in the loop, so they'll now be providing me information, and I'll be reporting it here as we meet as often as we can.
Who's the contractor for the shared road project?
I don't know. I didn't. I'll get
it.
Yeah, I'll get it. Yeah. I think that's all I have for my report. And
we're a lot of ground.
Thank you, sir.
Questions or comments, committee? Rodriguez.
What, I'm sorry, I know you're probably sick of hearing from me tonight. County Highway L, east of EA, the railroad tracks, was that not supposed to be done this month?
Yes.
Is that the deadline that was set by the commissioner?
The railroad company is just very difficult to work with. They are around in the area. They are doing a lot of work in the area, but they will not tell us when they are going to work on.
What was the deadline? It was sometime this month.
I
thought it was September 1st.
September 1st. Yes.
Yeah, I think that they're past their deadline. I know that we tried jacking them up again. We're really worried because they are doing work in the area, like Clement said, that they're going to try to kind of stick it to us. Because we have, you know, gone through the formal process because they were unresponsive, and that they're going to do it when it's the prime season. That's what we're worried about now. And I know that Glenn's been in contact with the railroad commissioner about it. But again, you know, we're pulling all the levers that we got access to, but right, we're not getting a lot of satisfaction.
Is there, what's the next step for the railroad? I know we can't tell the railroad commissioner what to do, but I mean,
I don't know that there is one. Yeah, I really don't. We went through all the formal hearings and processes.
I mean, could the railroad commissioner tell which one is that, the Union Pacific?
That one is
It's Union Pacific.
Yeah, Union Pacific, that's right. Yep.
He or she, I'm not sure who the commissioner is, but could that office say you can't operate until you fix this?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how much teeth any of that stuff has, because this has been, we've never had a positive experience with any time we have to go that route. And right, this is the first time where they've disobeyed and haven't done something after an official hearing with lawyers and all kinds of stuff and still haven't done what they're supposed to do.
Well, that's just our concern, obviously, at the farm now.
Yep.
But I will say, as we asked them, when they dropped rails,
right,
they asked us to drop rails.
So yep.
Yes, you're allowed to do that, but they won't tell us when.
Right.
So, okay, thank you.
Just on the same topic, is that the same railroad that crosses Highway 11 by Hiawatha Bar and Sturman?
I believe that's the Canadian Pacific. Yeah, because that's got Amtrak on it. That's
the same Church of Tracks, same.
No, that's the Canadian. They're the westernmost.
Okay.
And then the one that he's talking about is Union Pacific.
Okay, so it's yep, the different rail tracks.
Yep.
Pretty well. Thank you.
Through the chair to Supervisor Rodriguez, I think Smith's Farm should give their delicious cookies and their taffy apples to the railroad guys, and maybe that'll help convince them.
Well, I don't know. They might have not found favor with us quite yet.
I'm thinking Bush Light makes
it more effective. They are coming. Just we open at the end of the week, so next month, be prepared for it.
Any other further questions for Mr. Clement? Seeing none, we thank you for your call, Clement. We're on to the Division of Golf.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. County Executive Cup will be held tomorrow. We had 220 participants in our junior golf program, and this is our major fundraiser for our junior golf program. Really looking forward to a great day tomorrow. Want to thank Jim Cupfer for all of his work on raising prizes for us. It's going to be a great day at Brightdale. And, I'm so excited about it. The Kenosha County Open was very good. We had that August 13th through the 15th. We had 92 players, so that was quite an increase this year. We played at Strawberry Creek on Friday, and then the Blue Spruce on Saturday, and the White Birch on Sunday. It was an enjoyable event for everybody, I believe. It was a UW Parkside golfer that won it. Steve Sinicki was his name. First time that he entered and played. We had a TaylorMade demonstration day on August 29th. that went well, and we're going to have our club liquidation sale on September 25th. So if you know anybody that is looking for clubs, I mean, this is going to be a great sale. We're going to move a lot of our products that we took in on trade and a lot of our demo and products too, so that'll be a good savings for our guests help us move some product before the off season. The overall conditions of the golf course remain excellent. I mean, it's just such a pleasure to be out there and such a source of pride for me to be involved with these golf courses, because they are so nice. You know, even our staffing is way down, both at Brightdale and Petrifying Springs, and they continue to maintain the golf course to unbelievable levels. Our fall maintenance, it will be starting now. We'll be doing the red pines starting on Wednesday. Then next Monday we'll be doing the white birch, and the petrifying spring screens will be done on the 27th. the blue spruce we decided to do next spring. So we have a deep tine air fryer now. We're gonna deep tine the blue spruce and then core airify that in the spring.
And P and ferry aerification will be an ongoing process throughout the course of the fall. Also ongoing through the fall, we'll have our working on our drainage issues. Even with the drought, we still find drainage issues. We're going to get back to as much cart path restoration as we can at Petrifying Springs. And we are going to be doing some tree removal and brushing with some contractors. We did a lot of brushing a couple of years ago, and they used a forestry head that now the county has purchased so that we can do that ourselves. But they have a lightweight brushing head, and we're going to try and get them out there to take down all the growth that we've had in the last 2 years under all the trees where they had brushed in the past. So those are the things that are going on in golf. It's been a great season, and we're hoping for a great fall.
I know that the deep tine can be used. Can you tell me, is deep tine your issue used for both fairway and greens?
And tees, yep.
And tees. So for the blue course, it'll be deep tine on the greens at the end of this season, and next year cork.
Next May, or April or May, whenever it dries out enough.
But all the rest of them, exclusive of blue, get cure core aeration, then you sand over, right?
Right, yep.
Okay.
And then we will deep tine the white and the red next year, and then in the spring. And then in the fall, we will aerate the blue and the red, and then deep tine the white and just continue to rotate. Okay.
I noticed earlier this season, the past just around the perimeter of the green, there had been some aeration done. Was that the deep tine?
No, well, it could have been. The deep tine aerifier we purchased, and that came in the end of June, was the first time that we could get it. But we also had a needle tine, which is even smaller tines that we aerate with. So that could have been either one that you saw.
Because it's just around the perimeter at pass.
Right, and basically the aerification with the deep tine or the needle tine is all for venting. It all, they get gases down inside there, and we have to vent out that gas so that the grass grows better.
Questions or comments for golf, anything else? We thank you for your report, and we'll look for good weather for you tomorrow.
Thank you.
Are you, Mr. Myers, your emphasis?
Yeah, I'll be mic'd tonight just to give an update on a few of Mike's projects. So the KCDC isolation shower modification, I think he's got that pre-construction meeting scheduled for this week. And then they tentatively he's planning on having that work completed by the end of October. So it's in progress. The Brookside sprinkler pipe replacement project, this is the last phase to replace the sprinkler pipes up above in the attic. We talked about it a couple meetings back. The pre-construction meeting they had scheduled for last week, they moved it to this week based on availability for the folks to get in. But the plan, I think, is to get that after that pre-con is to establish the schedule for that. It's work that can be done, actually, as it starts to cool down, because that attic is about, if it's 100 degrees outside, it's probably 125 to 130 degrees in the attic. They're going to want to do this kind of as in those transition months as we move into the fall, into winter. Courthouse washroom remodeling project. That project, they had the pre-con meeting in late July. Work began in late July. Completion still on target for early November. That's in progress. And that was what Mike's got going on project-wise.
Questions on that particular Civic Center campus downtown area? Seeing none, carry on.
Then I'm just going to give kind of a summary wrap-up stuff. Moving into the latter part of the construction season, you heard tonight, guys are working to kind of wrap up, whether it's road projects, park projects, golf projects, facilities projects. There's quite a few things, but it looks good that everything's going to get wrapped up pretty much on time. On the operations side of things, we're beginning to plan for winter operations in all the divisions, and then typically October is when we actually start to make that transition. The planning's taking place now. Given everything that we've got in play for the 22 budget process, We had planned on bringing the highway access plan to the committee this month. That's going to cover highways E, H, and S. And then we're going to plan on doing a master one for the entire county, all of our county roads, next year. But this plan we hope to have ready now. We don't quite have it ready because we want to make sure we can sit down with the municipalities, the village of Summers, and the city to make sure everybody's cool with everything before we bring that plan. And given some of the other things we've got in the works, we decided to not rush that, push that off until Q1 of next year. And then as you saw tonight, the South Branch project is a pretty extensive project, but definitely worth taking the time to explain to folks what it's all about, what it involves, and the Human Services Campus project, same thing. So we've really been focused on those two things before the budget's presented to at least get a good amount of information out to everybody, the board as well as the public. And hopefully that's happening, and over the next few weeks there's a few more things involved with both of those projects to continue to get those messages out. I kind of reminded everybody tomorrow night there's a meeting at the Sun Plaza with the neighborhood to see what kind of questions the folks have, and see how receptive they are to things. September and October are going to be really busy and hopefully productive, and before you know it, winter will be here. So that's all I've got, Mr. Chairman.
A lot of stuff. Questions, comments, anything you brought forward? Mr. Cooper.
It's really hard to add anything to what Ray would ever say. I just wanted to remind everybody who started to talk about it. Over the next I just want to remind everybody of the dates that are coming up. Tomorrow night, you mentioned there's a public meeting on the 52nd Street project. Then on September 22nd, there's a tour of the existing job center. And September 29th, I guess they'll have it. But on September 29th, there's a tour of the potential new 52nd Street. Our next budget meeting, our next committee meeting is the 4th. And then our budget meeting is the 18th, right?
Yep.
That's our committee budget meeting, and we'll be concentrating again on these new projects that Ray was talking about. And then our budget meeting in front of the Finance Committee is October 27th at 6 o'clock downtown at the County Court, the Administration Building. So what else did I?
I think that's enough.
Somewhere near there's a PDEC meeting. I know their budget. I believe it's the 18th.
Well, the county exec is October 5th.
Well, that's when the budget gets really thank you. That's the county exec releases his budget on the 5th. So between the 5th and our budget approval meeting on the 18th, if you got any questions at any time, either call Barna or Chris or myself, because we like to get all that stuff done and have explanations done before we get into the budget meetings. Otherwise, our October 18th budget meeting is going to be on the October 19th also, because there's so much stuff that we want to cover. That's why we're spending so much time explaining all these projects ahead of time and having these meetings and making sure that everybody understands. So I've been here for like 10 years, and I don't think I've ever seen that amount of big projects that are coming up.
So we'll be seeing a lot of each other in the next few weeks only.
There's more nights when there's not something happening, but there is something happening and not happening.
And of course, your youth and governance, you're willing to attend to any or all of these. You're not required to attend them all. The committee meetings, of course, that have to do with this particular committee are by the more important ones, but you can pick and choose and do whatever you feel is appropriate. At this point, I would entertain a motion for adjournment. Moved by Burns, second by Supervisor Rodriguez.
Aye.
We stand adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Hope